We're having less sex, and researchers are trying to figure out why. Maybe we're too busy, maybe we're depressed, or maybe we're becoming more evolved. Here and Now's Tanya Mosley sat down with the lead researcher of one of the most comprehensive sex studies to date to find out more. Just a note, this story contains details about sex and violence.
A few years ago, I noticed something while chaperoning my daughter's eighth grade dance. The lights were low, the music was bumping, the kids were dressed to the nines, but I don't think they noticed that about each other. The boys were on one side, the girls were on the other, and this separation didn't appear to be that awkward, nervous thing that I remember when I was a young teen. These kids just didn't seem to be interested in each other. Their phones were the main attraction. When they weren't taking pictures of their friends or themselves, they were staring down at their devices.
One on each side. I don't remember being like that at all. I remember just being like Laffy Taffy, all that. And we knew, yeah. I knew what it meant. So I was, you know.
That's Rebecca. She's one of four New York-based hosts of the popular sex, love, and relationship podcast, Inner Ho Uprising. They tell me the name comes from the feeling some of us have after a night of partying. Rebecca says her eighth grade dance memories revolved around adults trying to stop the kids from dancing suggestively to songs like Laffy Taffy. Her co-host Sam also remembers this kind of thing at her eighth grade dances.
It was vulgar. Kids were doing things that kids should not have been doing. And it was much more than just like dancing on each other at eighth grade dances. And I think I should leave it at that.
To me, this sounds normal for 14 or 15-year-olds. Hormones are raging, right? Well, researchers say what I saw in my daughter's dance is reflective of a larger trend. While teenagers are armed with more language, for instance, they're more likely to express their gender pronouns and sexual identity, overall, they are delayed in a number of things, including sexual expression. Here's researcher Debbie Herbenick.
People who study adolescence and adulthood, many of us have seen an overall delay, right? Like teenagers are taking longer now to get their first driver's license, right? So it's not even just about sex. Like there's not as much drinking alcohol. And so some of these things are positive.
Herbenick is the lead researcher for the National Survey of Sexual Health and Behavior and teaches at the University of Indiana, Bloomington. Over the last 22 years, she's co-authored several studies about our sexual activity. And her most recent research finds that all of us, regardless of age, are having less sex, with the most dramatic decline among teenagers. At the start of the study in 2009, for instance, 79% of those ages 14 to 17 revealed that they were not having sex. By 2018, that number rose to 89%. This new data squares with the experiences of the podcast hosts of Inner Ho Uprising. When they started the podcast 4 years ago, they talked a lot about dating and finding love. These days, they're unpacking their sexual identities and preferences, and they're finding they've become more selective. They're having less sex. Here's Rebecca.
I had reached a point in my life where I was much more satisfied with my own company and much more satisfied with just like myself than I had ever been. It was so interesting how that immediately equated to like me not wanting to have sex as much, because it was like, I think there was a core part of me that related my worth to sexual, like me being desirable sexually. And like a lot of the time I'd just be like, I'm just here, so let's do it. As opposed to like this active wanting to do it and like looking for quality over quantity, or looking for like something that this person is actually interested in me for me.
Rebecca's co-host, Rob, who uses they-them pronouns, also began to see a shift in their attitudes towards sex during this pandemic.
I had my own process with discernment in 2021, when I went through a period where I was like, yeah, I need a break from sex as well. I'm not dating the right people, and I didn't really know what was going on. And I decided I wouldn't sleep with somebody who would not call me by my pronouns. Or at least, let's say, try, correct yourself when you mess up, then this is not for you, this is not for me. And in doing that, my sexual activity decreased so much.
Taking ownership of our sex lives and talking publicly about how much of it or how little we're having, Herbenick says this is new for our culture. She's even seen it in her classrooms, college-age students openly expressing their sexuality outside of the binary of gay or straight, with a growing number of people who now openly identify as asexual, which means having little or no sexual desire.
Even, you know, 20 years ago when I used to have students with those identities, they shared that to me privately in their papers. And it wasn't very common at all to talk about that in a lecture hall of 50 or 100 students. So I've loved seeing greater comfort. I do suspect, you know, again, if we're thinking about there being probably a number of different reasons why we see declines in different kinds of partnered sex, you know, with greater comfort in connecting to asexual identities, there is a small but still meaningful percent of people then who can also feel some comfort in asserting, I'm not interested, actually, in partnered sex.
Herbenick's team has several more studies underway right now to get a deeper understanding of how much cultural shifts like this are impacting the decline in sexual activity. On the other side of that coin, one finding she's especially interested in exploring is the increase in rough sex. In this latest study, a significant number of those ages 18 to 29 have reported experiencing things like punching and choking during intimate activity.
We're hearing from so many young people who say some of their earliest experiences, right, with making out or having sex, and they're excited, they're hooking up with this person they're really into, and suddenly that person hits them or punches them, or maybe they even ask to be hit, but they think it's going to be a light little playful slap, and they just get walloped. And so I think, you know, what I see as somebody who's been in this field for 20 odd years now is that the tone of those early experiences, I don't know why you go back for more.
Men reported learning about rough sex from porn and their friends. Women say they learned it through media. But this increase in rough sex, along with a more sophisticated understanding of our sexuality, doesn't tell the whole story of why we're having less sex. One clue might be higher rates of depression.
Depression also affects libido. And so untreated depression, you know, would also affect libido. There are some antidepressants that affect libido and can really dampen people's sex drive.
With all of these factors in mind, should we be worried? The hosts of Inner Ho Uprising say no. Here's Sam.
I really don't want people to view folks having less sex as like sort of a moral panic or anything like that. And I also don't want folks to walk away with it being like an individual cause, because people exist in a society. And if we're seeing things trending on an individual level, there are broad scale societal underpinnings to what's going on. So it's not because like folks are losers and playing video games and like unable to have sex or anything like that. Like there are a bunch of things going on, and I just don't want that to be collapsed into a moral panic as to why like Gen Z is so bad about at finding sex partners or anything like that.
Debbie Herbenick agrees. We know, she says, that sex can improve health, quality of life, and our desires to reproduce. But taking ownership of when we want it, how we want it, and whether we want to participate in it at all, that's also just as important.
So I think that being able to understand and own your sexual identity and create the boundaries that work for you is a really powerful positive. Just being able to say, no, I'm not into it, and that's okay, right? That people don't have to live up to some frequency. As long as I've been in this field, I've, you know, fielded questions from journalists who have wanted us to say, what is the right number or the healthy number of times a week or month somebody should be having sex? And we've always said, you know, there is no such number. So I think, you know, for everybody, what I hope greater information about sexuality can do is to help them feel some liberation from things that have otherwise penned them in.
Researchers like Herbenick have so much more they want to study, and clearly there's so much more to talk about. I'm Tanya Mosley.